I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. We get our pictures of what Wall Street is like from movies like Wall Street.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Or, most recently, The Wolf of Wall Street.
My name is Jordan Belfort. I'm a former member of the middle class, raised by two accountants in a tiny apartment in Bayside, Queens. The year I turned 26 as the head of my own brokerage firm, I made $49 million, which really pissed me off because it was three shy of a million a week.
But what about for the people who are just out of college, 22 years old, they've got their degree, and they're looking to move into the world of banking and finance? Kevin Roos decided to find out for himself, and so he spent 3 years tracking eight people who are at the bottom of the financial food chain. And he wrote about them in a new book called Young Money, Inside the Hidden World of Wall Street's Post-Crash Recruits. And he's here to talk about it now. Kevin, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you for having me.
In the book, you say that the financial crisis changed the generation and remade Wall Street. How?
Well, I think part of what's hard to understand unless you actually go in and talk to these people, as I did for 3 years following these eight young bankers around, is that Wall Street is not the sort of caricatured cartoon world that we see on movies like The Wolf of Wall Street and shows, shows on TV. So I think it's a much different world, and in some ways a much sadder world. These are not people who are having the times of their lives. They are, in fact, working incredibly long hours. And as 22-year-olds, they're basically being asked to subject themselves to what amounts to a miserable working environment for 2 years.
Did these people go in there with huge dollar signs in their eyes, thinking, oh, I'm going to be the next Gordon Gekko, I'm going to be the next Jordan Belfort?
I think so. I think there's a sense in which they're playing off these stereotypes that are outdated about what working on Wall Street is like. And after the financial crisis in 2009 and 2010, when I started following them, the scene had really changed. It was no longer champagne and caviar. It was like, spreadsheets and layoffs. So I think they were disenchanted by that. And I also think there's a sense in which the sort of culture around finance has changed. It's not the sort of sexiest, most appealing option for college students anymore. It was for many years, and now I think the shine has sort of worn off.
So you talk about them being overworked and overpaid. They are starting at $100,000 a year in many cases, but they're working like 100 hours a week, right?
Right. There's a thing on Wall Street called the banker 9-to-5 that they talk about a lot, which is when you show up for work at 9 a.m. and you leave at 5 a.m. the next day. So it's a 20-hour shift, and that's not uncommon.
It seemed like, as I was reading the book, and there are great stories and different stories among these eight people, but it seemed to me like you may have sympathized with these people and the life they were entering. And I'm curious if the perception of everybody else about what Wall Street is supposed to be because of those external factors that you talked about, what were their friends' reactions like? The people who didn't work on Wall Street, what did they think of their new job and their new lives?
They weren't totally supportive, and I think that was one of the hardest things for these young people, is that they had expected that everyone would be happy for them. Working on Wall Street is tough, and only the sort of best and the brightest make it. And so I think they were disenchanted to find that they were now being the targets of criticism. I talked to one Goldman Sachs worker who actually started lying when he went out in public about what he did. He's told people that he was a consultant rather than saying, I'm an investment banker at Goldman Sachs. I think that's representative of this larger problem, which is that people who work on Wall Street are, they used to be like respected members of society. And now their sort of aura of mystique is gone for a lot of them. And I think that's really taken a toll on the young people.
But as I mentioned, the public perception is, they're all the one percenters. And a lot of people are disgusted at the too big to fail bailouts and all the rest. Did you find any of that disgust for the system with the eight that you profiled?
I did. That was surprising to me, is that not everyone had drunk the Kool-Aid. They were critical. they had questions and doubts about their work they were being asked to do. And so it was not this sort of cult of finance where everyone's totally bought in. And I think that speaks well of the next generation of bankers. They're not completely uncritical about what they're doing, and they haven't yet bought into the world around them to a complete degree.
Or maybe the ones who feel that way get weeded out and the others continue to grow and they become like the old bankers were and end up at the Kappa Beta Phi dinner.
It's certainly possible, but I think that probably the most heartening thing was that even the people I talked to who were the happiest in finance, who wanted to stay in this world for the rest of their careers, even they had misgivings about it. So it's not that, the whole industry is made up of these self-loathing, liberal arts majors now. It's that, even the people who are the diehards recognize that finance has fallen a long way since 2008. And they, no one wants to work in a hated and reviled industry, especially young people. They want to be known for being respectable and contributing to the world. So I think Wall Street has got a big image problem that it's going to need to fix if it's ever going to retain its mystique and the magic that used to surround it.
I mentioned the Kappa Beta Phi dinner because I read the piece that you wrote about going to this dinner of millionaires and billionaires, the 1% of the 1%, the people who, in many cases, ruined our economy. And you were very surprised to find out that here they were laughing about it.
Yeah, the Kappa Beta Phi dinner was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen. It's an 80-year-old Wall Street fraternity made up of CEOs, billionaires, executives from the major banks. And every year they get together and essentially mock the rest of the world. They dress up in drag. The new members are forced to perform skits and do musical numbers. And often these numbers are just the most offensive things you can think of. So there was one song that they did as a group that was called Bailout King, that was about, it was set to the tune of ABBA's Dancing Queen, and it was about how they all came through the financial crisis more or less unscathed. So it's really, it was really despicable stuff, and I was actually the first person ever to see this from the outside. I snuck into this event and hid out in a rented tuxedo and wrote down and recorded what I saw.
Is their perspective warped by being around millionaires and, in some cases, billionaires all day long? That's the only group of people that they know, and so they can't believe that the 99%ers are unhappy about anything?
Absolutely. I think there's a definite loss of perspective that comes with their position. If you think about it, when you first graduate from college, even if you work on Wall Street, you have friends who do all kinds of other things. You have friends who are, musicians and artists and bartenders and, lawyers and things like that. And as you work your way up the ladder, partly because you're working so much and you don't have much time outside of work, you grow apart from those people and you grow closer to the people who work very close to you. So as you move up the ladder, your world becomes sort of smaller and more insular. And I think by the time you reach the top, most of your other friends and the people with whom you're the closest are other people in the same position as you. They're millionaires, they're billionaires, they're CEOs and executives. And I think that creates a sense of sort of social isolation that can be really harmful.
You write in the book about 8 different people, and they're from varied backgrounds, and some are women and some are people of color. I'm curious how Wall Street treats the women and people of color in this modern age.
Well, it's come a long way. Certainly it was worse for those people in the 1980s or the 1990s. I think there's been a lot of progress on the diversity front on Wall Street, but there's still much more room to go. I talked to several people of color, several women, about their experiences on Wall Street, and without a doubt, this was a major factor in what they saw on Wall Street. It's hard to succeed if you're looking up the chain and not seeing a ton of role models who look like you. Wall Street firms are still mostly run by white men, and so I think if you're a young woman or a young person of color starting out, there's not a whole lot of sort of precedent for what you might want to do.
The book is the story of the people at the bottom of the financial food chain. It's called Young Money, Inside the Hidden World of Wall Street's Post-Crash Recruits. Kevin Roos, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.